I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Akosua Yamua. In the headlines, birth of National Democratic Party confirmed in Accra. Chairman of National Peace Council hopeful of lasting peace at Hohoi. Togolese security forces fired tear gas to disperse hundreds of opposition protesters. And two former Argentine military rulers sentenced for supervising theft of babies from political prisoners.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
After months of rumors and speculation, the birth of a new political party is now confirmed. The National Democratic Party, NDP, is said to be the brainchild of the Rawlingses. The yet-to-be-launched party has presented details to the Electoral Commission and expect the final certificate that will give it the mandate to operate as a fully-fledged political party. The new party has a flying dove holding on to the Jinyame symbol as its logo on the colors red, green, white and black, similar to that of the NDC, with the motto Justice, Unity, Peace and Progress. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the interim General Secretary of the party, Dr. Manbwa Roxon, who confirmed this, said the decision to form the party is born out of NDC's decision to reject the tenets of June 4.
The Rawlingses are leading members of the National Democratic Party, which has submitted documents to form a new party. But as the rules stand, we need to fulfill certain obligations to be able to obtain a temporal license to be able to operate as a political party for the final certificate if we meet all the requirements of the Electoral Commission.
So when exactly should we see the formal birth of the NDP?
Well, it all hangs on when we are able to fulfill the requirement from the Electoral Commission.
What will be the vision and aspirations of the NDP if it is finally birthed?
Well, the vision that we have is to be a party of choice and a leading party in this country, where we will see social justice, accountability, probity, and transparency in what we do. This country has come a long way from the 4th of June, 1979, and the events of December 31st should have propelled this country into a middle income or a fast developing country. But what are we seeing? We are seeing a reversal of what June 4th has achieved. We are seeing a reversal from the tenets which were brought about by the revolution in 1981.
The managing editor of the Al-Haj newspaper, Alhaji Jusu Baturi, who's been hinting at the formation of the party, has predicted its doom. He described the formation party as the Waterloo of the Rawlingses.
Much as I would have loved to feel vindicated, I am really sad. One of the reasons why we put out the story when we picked up intelligence was to dissuade or to persuade the Rawlingses not to destroy their hard-won legacy they've built over the years, of course, aided by Ghanaians. Because why do I say that? If you have a former president for 19 years, you ruled this country with your wife, 10 years out of the 19 years, we didn't have any parliament, you make laws for this country, we all obeyed. And then when we went to multi-party democracy, we again gave you 8 solid years uninterrupted. You ruled the country with your wife. Fortunately for you, after your party lost power, you helped galvanize your party to recapture power in 2008. Now Ghanaians are expecting that you play a statesman role in the whole scheme of things. And look at what is happening to our elder statesman. This is unheard heard or think of in the whole world, where you are the founder of a political party, not only a political party, a moving political party at that, and the midterm in office, you help your wife to float another entity, knowing very well that you have no slimmest of chances of even winning elections. Yet you want to take the party that you have helped to build back into opposition. That for me is very sad, and I see this as the Waterloo of the Rawlings.
Aladi, would you say the Rawlings are forming the party to win elections, or they just want to spoil the party for the NDC in the December elections?
They have no intention, and they know they can never win elections, because in the first place, they are not noted to be organized. Right from 1992 until 2008, the Rawlings have never been organized. They don't even know how to organize a political party.
A researcher at the Institute of African Studies, University of Ghana, Dr. Michael Peter White, says the Rawlings is like any other Ghanaian, have the constitutional right to form a party.
I don't think that there is anything like a political earthquake under the current dispensation at all. Former First Lady Mrs. Rawlings, like any other Ghanaian, has a constitutional right to form a political party if she is able to meet the requirements as demanded by the Constitution. And so is any other Ghanaian having the same rights. So I don't really see this as a political earthquake at all.
What do you expect a party of the Rawlings to achieve in this short time to the December elections?
Well, I think that events are still unfolding. It started way back as a rumor, and now gradually the cover is beginning to peel off. Things are beginning to fall in place.
A researcher at the Institute of African Studies, University of Ghana, Dr. Michael Peter-White. Civil society organization CSO have resurrected the argument that certain presidents should participate in presidential debates to allow Ghanaians to make informed choices on governance. A boycott of the IEA presidential debate by the NDC, according to the CSOs, does a disservice to the citizenry by denying many a right to information meant to consolidate the country's democratic gains. At the close of an election semi-annual convention of 51 of Star Ghana's grand partners in Accra, participants recommended that the media focus on reporting on issues and also set the agenda for Ghanaians to vote on issues but not candidates who seek to promote acrimony during elections. Radio Ghana's Rebecca Ekpe was a participant at the election convention and filed this report.
Star Ghana's election grant partner convention is born out of the need to engage civil society organizations in emerging lessons on the field and seek opportunities to collaborate in the lead up to the 2012 elections. 45 civil society organizations and 8 media outlets have received grants from Star Ghana totaling $3 million. Focusing on strengthening transparency, accountability, and responsiveness in Ghana, Star Ghana awards grants to areas of basic education, health, urban sanitation, oil and gas management, and northern agricultural development. Project manager Ibrahim Tanko Amidu explained that a stable government is the life wire to enabling civil society to function effectively.
Without a stable country, without democratic governance, we will not be able to achieve what we intend to achieve in those 5 areas. And that is why, even though governance is not one of the democratic priorities, we decided to put out a special call for people on the election.
Consensus at the end of the Star Ghana Convention is that civil society organizations must collaborate more with media to help sustain peace in the country before, during, and after the 2012 elections. However, some media experts were quick to point out that the work of civil society organizations is hindered by a lack of a legal backing. Professor Kwame Kakari, Executive Director of Media Foundation for West Africa, repeats a clarion call for the passage of a broadcasting bill to consolidate the work of civil society in contributing to good governance.
If there is a broadcasting law passed, that should serve as a basis of regulating the broadcast media, and therefore any infractions by any radio or TV station can be dealt with by the regulator. Where there is no such law, then we leave room for waywardness and abuse of the airwaves. And in the situation where broadcasting organizations misbehave, civil society can do nothing.
Participants at the election convention have been deliberating on the role of the media in elections, issue-based campaigns, and influencing manifestos. state accountability and electoral monitoring, promoting political participation and media and conflict resolution. Star Ghana receives grants from UKAID, European Union, USAID, and DANIDA.
Rebecca Quay reporting. The CEO of Nboka Ghana Limited, an ICT consultancy, Patrick Dasuberi, says the intended online display of the biometric voters' data by the Electoral Commission is a good idea. He also affirmed that the biometric register to be put out cannot be tampered with because the EC has employed technology to protect it. He said the display will rather facilitate the work of the Commission. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Dasuberi said what voters need to do is to go to the net to find out if they have been registered. He spoke to Yaya Kwamwa.
I think if people are just supposed to cross-check whether their names are appearing on the biometric register, it is possible to just, the names just be displayed and then people would just go and then search on the database to find out if their name is there. I think EC should be possible of programming in such a way that the search method will just go and search the database. If it's there, then it will send a message to say, okay, you've been registered. If it's not there, then you say, okay, you've not yet been registered. Because of data protection, it will not make sense to just display all the names like that for everyone to just have look at it.
Won't ICT as well tamper with the register?
No, as long as you don't give people the access for them to make changes, and they're just supposed to view the data. It will be difficult for people to make changes on it.
But given the fact that about 60% of Ghanaians, or more than that, are illiterate, how will they be able to access this on the internet?
Well, there are two ways of doing it. The other one, considering the fact that most people use phones, it should be possible to send a text message to the database for the database to say, okay, yeah, you've been registered, or you've not been registered based on some certain test parameters. On the other hand, too, in Ghana, not a lot of people technologically savvy. So it's just the people who use the internet a lot who would have the opportunity of going online to check. But for those in the villages, they can use text or something of that sort.
How effective will this system be?
It will be effective in places where they use the internet a lot, like in the regional capitals and stuff like that. But in the villages, I doubt how that will be effective unless they deploy the kind of texting, kind of the mobile phone route, because the internet is not accessible in all villages or all districts at the moment. So that will not be effective along those lines.
The CEO of Nboka Ghana Limited, an ICT consultancy, Patrick Dasuberi, talking to Yaya Kwamwa. The National Peace Council has expressed optimism that there will be lasting peace at Hohoi in the Volta region. After a fact-finding mission to Hohoi, the council chairman, Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, said both factions are for peace. He spoke to Agatha Samwa.
It was very positive. The traditional council, when we met them, agreed that definitely peace is something that they need. They were only concerned about what they call a regalia that has been lost and also the damage that has been done to the king's traditional residence, that is the palace. And they were worried about that, and they were saying that for lasting peace to be established, they would be happy if they could find the regalia and all that. And we went to Tobega. He was very much concerned about his house that had been destroyed. And his concern was that finding a place to lay his head, he and his family. These were the concerns that were expressed. And then we came to meet with the Zongo community. They feel that as a result of what happened, they've been forbidden from selling and from engaging in any commercial activity. Those who are drivers were not permitted to use the car park and so on.
Chairman of the National Peace Council, Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Birth of National Democratic Party linked to the Rawlingses confirmed in Accra. Chairman of National Peace Council hopeful of lasting peace at Hohoi. Togolese security forces fired tear gas to disperse hundreds of opposition protesters, and two former Argentine military rulers sentenced for supervising theft of babies from political prisoners.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The president of the Ghana Institute of Architects, Adete Brown, has attributed the traffic jam in the city of Accra to poor building planning. He said people build in areas that roads have been developed, resulting in unnecessary traffic. Mr. Brown has therefore called on all agencies to come together to ensure that towns and cities are well planned. He was speaking in Accra at the launch of the 50th anniversary of the Institute. Here's a report by Sandra Danso.
The Ghana Institute of Architects, established in 1962, with only a handful of members, now boasts of more than 700 qualified and licensed architects practicing in the country. Mr. Brown said in 50 years of existence, the Institute has achieved a lot. This includes designing buildings that take care of the environmental conditions, such as ventilation and the sun's rays. He however complained that the cities are not well planned and need integrated development strategies.
Don't plan your roads, or don't go and build in areas where roads haven't been developed. What happens when you do that is that you're going to move through very, very difficult road networks just to get where you're going. And what has it led to? Very bad driving habits from truck drivers and taxi drivers. Three lanes instead of one lane. And sometimes you find five lanes. What has it led to? Impatience. So we need to plan our cities properly so that we don't develop the negative human attitudes to life. So there's a lot of work for us to do to improve our environment and to improve our road networks. But this can be done by just one agency alone. Everybody's got to work together. You put drains, you put roads, you put electricity, you put water, and put houses and offices. Then, if you do that in a holistic way, your environment will be ordered.
The 50th anniversary celebration will start from the 1st of October this year with activities such as public lectures, excellence awards, and exhibition of Ghana's architectural history.
Sandra Danso reporting. The MP for Ablekuma Central, Theophilus Tetechai, is spearheading a system to allow BEC candidates who fail to do well in the examination to be given the chance to resit only selected subjects. In a question posed to the Minister of Education, Lee Okran, on the resit for basic school pupils in the final examination, Mr. Tetechai noted that some students fail in a few subjects and so making them rewrite all the papers is not the best. The minister pointed out that the existing educational system, however, does not cater for such an intervention.
There is no failure in the BEC. Those who are perceived to have failed are those who are not able to make the deal to qualify to enter the former SPHS or the technical institutes. The BEC candidates are graded by their performance in the various subjects against the performance of all the individuals in the various subjects in a particular year. In this sense, it is not practicable to compare grades in a particular year with the other. It means that a grade 5 in mathematics in 2011 and the type in mathematics in 2010 will not be necessarily the same because of the canine system of grading. As against the criterion reference system, first grades will be compared. It is based on this arrangement that candidates who are not able to make a good grade and would like to visit are required to rewrite the whole paper. The BEC only provides the results of the individual in the various subjects against the results of all others. It is in this light that continuous assessment is critical in the assessment of the individual candidates. Hence, the need for the individual candidates who wishes to better his or her results go back to the former school to receive.
The Minister of Education also briefed members on moves to make technical and vocational education attractive.
Government through COVID has gone very far to obtain support from the African Development Bank to upgrade facilities of one technical institute in every region to international standard. The Council for Technical and Vocational Education and Training, COVID, is leading reforms that also seek to introduce competency-based training, CBT, as the training method in technical institutes to improve skills development. This development is meant to enhance the competence of technical institute graduates to enable them to address students into the world of work, especially self-employment. For the first time in the future, technical institute graduates have studied and written external examinations in English, mathematics, integrated science, and social studies, in addition to their three areas. It is an intervention to enable technical institute graduates to enter tertiary institutions.
Education Minister Lee Okran. The National Health Insurance Authority is asking the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana to avail itself for discussion if it has challenges or grievances concerning the operation of the scheme. The Deputy Director of Strategy and Corporate Affairs, Ameto Kwame, told Radio Ghana that the doors of the authority are open for deliberations that will further enhance the running of the scheme to meet the expectations of clients. These comments follow concerns raised by the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana on unfair treatment of community pharmacies. The Minister of Roads and Highways, Joe Gidisu, says remedial measures are being put in place to make roads in Ashaiman more travel. He said major works on drains have been completed. Mr. Gidisu said this in an interview with Radio Ghana. He assured motorists and the traveling public that the ministry will ensure that contractors working on the roads double up their efforts.
We have awarded those roads on contract. The major thrust of the works being done in Ashaiman, first is the improvement in the drains. The drainage works are virtually almost completed on most sections of the road. And as at now, the main driveways are what we would be addressing. I do share the frustrations of motorists in and around Ashaiman as a result of the current state of those roads. And just 3 days ago, the municipal chief executive came to me to see how best we could improve on the situation. I just want to assure compatriots in that community that we are doing everything possible, at least in the interim.
How soon will this be done? Because it's like progress of work on roads in that area has been delayed for a very long time.
Not that it has been delayed. The contractors are on site. There may be a slowdown in the works as a result of some challenges we have with releases in terms of for works done. However, it is our commitment. And as I noted, the greatest challenge is the drainage works that are being done. And if you drive around Ashaiman, almost all the major drains, which have never seen any improvement over the years, have been fixed. It is a process from where we will be getting onto the main road. However, as I noted, we will not wait for the contractors to eventually begin the base works on those roads, but we will now put in motion remedial measures to at least improve the driving quality on those roads whilst the contractors get on with their approach towards the works that have been designed for their construction.
Are you able to tell us some of these remedial measures?
It should be possible for us to bring in materials to fill some of the potholes and other, you know, depressions on the roads to make them motorable and more accessible.
Mr. Gidisu warned encroachers on the George Walker Bush Highway to vacate before the ministry descends on them.
We would want to say that nature abhors vacuum, so that those areas that are perhaps the open spaces along the road are not there for nothing. We have earmarked them for various facilities. And for that matter, I would want to say that there is a need for us to speed up the construction of those facilities at those points where those spaces are, so as to prevent those encroaches. Now that least my attention has been drawn to it, I believe that it is those open spaces, some we have fenced, but others which are not fenced, there is the need for us to see how best we can prevent those encroachers from taking the having a field day in coming back. Now that we have already paid compensation to them, there is no need for them to come back to those spots.
The Minister of Roads and Highways, Joe Gidisu, in that interview with Yaya Kwamwa. Moving on to foreign stories, security forces in Togo have fired tear gas to disperse hundreds of opposition protesters who had gathered in front of the French embassy. Togo has been rocked by a series of violent protests in the past 3 weeks, organized by the opposition Let's Save Togo campaign. The opposition wants to undo a change of voting rules adopted by the parliament and is against the proposed change to the number of seats in the assembly ahead of a legislative election due October. One of the coordinators of the Save Togo campaign, Patrick Lawson, said the young people want the French ambassador to witness what is happening to Togo. That is why they went to the embassy, but the police did not let them. The street leading to the embassy in the capital, Lomé, was littered with shoes left behind by fleeing protesters. Two former leaders during Argentina's military rule have been found guilty of overseeing the systematic theft of babies from political prisoners. A court in Buenos Aires sentenced Jorge Videla to 50 years in prison and Reinaldo Bignoni to 15 years. They're already serving lengthy jail sentences for crimes committed under military rule between 1976 and 1983. At least 400 babies are thought to have been taken from their parents whilst they were held in detention centers. The verdict is the culmination of a trial that began in February last year. In total, 11 people, most of them former military and police officials, were facing charges. Nine, including Videla and Vignoni, were convicted in the case over the theft of 34 babies. Two were found not guilty. Portugal's Constitutional Court has struck down a key part of the government's deficit-cutting program. It ruled that the government's plan to limit extra holiday and Christmas pay for public sector workers was unconstitutional. Currently, nearly all public and private sector employees receive an extra month's salary before the summer holidays and Christmas. The government wanted to cut this to meet targets for a Eurozone bailout. Portugal needs to cut some 1.2 billion euros of its budget deficit by the next year as part of a bailout deal from the European Union and the International Monetary Fund. It had planned to cut extra holiday payments for public sector workers and pensioners or scrap them entirely for wealthier people. Cuban President Raul Castro is meeting Chinese leaders in Beijing, signing agreements aimed at deepening already close ties between the two allies. President Castro is due to meet Vice President Xi Jinping and Vice Premier Li Keqiang, who are widely expected to take over China's top leadership post. He met President Hu Jintao and signed several cooperation deals. China pledged to aid Cuba with a new credit line and with health care and technology. Reports say the promises were part of a series of agreements between the two countries, although no details were given. Mr. Hu urged more cooperation with Cuba on trade, energy, infrastructure, construction, agriculture, and biotechnology. Mr. Castro's four-day visit is his first to China since taking over the leadership from his brother Fidel in 2008. The Obama administration has sanctioned six people, including Eritrea's external intelligence chief and a senior Eritrean military officer, for their roles in allegedly supporting the Somali-led group, Al-Shabaab. The group is blamed for numerous attacks against African Union peacekeepers in Somalia, as well as attacks in Uganda and Kenya. The Treasury Department announced the sanctions under an executive order that allows the administration to impose punitive measures on individuals who threaten peace, security, or stability in Somalia. The sanctions freeze any assets the men may have in the U.S. and block Americans from doing business with them. A three-day peer-to-peer learning event on secure transactions and collateral registries organized by the International Finance Corporation of the World Bank Group has ended in Accra. It was attended by representatives of central bank and financial intermediation institutions from Anglophone African countries. They deliberated on alternative methods of providing credit without depending on only movable property as collateral. They also shared country experiences and visited Ghana's collateral registry, which is the first to be set up in Africa. Closing the event, IFC's global product leader on secure transactions and collateral registries, Alejandro Alvarez de la Campa, hoped participants would influence changes in the legislations in their countries as a better way of securing credit and enhancing growth. He noted that country-specific practices should be considered when these laws are being framed to ensure acceptability. A similar learning event will be held for Francophone African countries in future. A sales and accounts clerk with Winyameba Enterprise Limited at Kokumimli near the Kwame Nkrumah Circle in Accra has been arraigned before an Accra Circuit Court for stealing. Alfred Lathbridge is alleged to have stolen from his employers 247,663 CDs, an amount that was supposed to have been paid into the company's bank accounts, and was granted bail in the sum of 280,000 CDs. He has pleaded not guilty. He'll appear again in court on the 26th of this month. prosecuting DST Alex Odonko said Alfred is responsible for the collection and payment of daily sales into the company's bank accounts. About 2 months ago, the manager of Unyameba Enterprise detected some discrepancies in the account and the receipt books and requested the company's secretary to audit the invoices and the cash book. On the evening of May 15, Alfred is reported to have informed the secretary on phone that he had failed to make payment of some of the daily sales of 3 shops into the account and pleaded with her not to inform the manager, but he was reported to the Nima police the following day and arrested. Now, to end the news, the main points again. The birth of a new political party linked to the Rawlingses, the National Democratic Party, has been confirmed in Accra after months of rumors and speculation. The chairman of the National Peace Council, Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, has expressed optimism that there will be lasting peace at Hoho in the Volta region. Security forces in Togo have fired tear gas to disperse hundreds of opposition protesters who had gathered in front of the French embassy. And 2 former Argentine military rulers have been found guilty of supervising the systematic theft of babies from political prisoners. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana in Accra.